What an incredible Sunday we had last week. If you weren't able to be part of it, I want to make sure that you go back and listen to that. Be part of this experience with us. Some of you are asking, what happened last week? What are the new commitments that we saw? Most importantly, one of the things that we were really excited about is to see so many, we talked about last week, people making that transition from just observing what God's doing to being part of what God's doing. And it was incredible to see so many take that step. And next Sunday, we're going to share that with you. People are still making commitments as they're watching online and in different spaces. And so we're going to give a little bit more time for that. If you didn't make your midpoint commitment last week, make sure that you do that before next Sunday so that you can be part of this experience with us. It's incredible. It's incredible how God's working and moving in our lives. It's incredible what God is giving us the opportunity to be able to be part of building here inside of Hoboken, to be able to create this community space from which we're going to be able to love in such powerful ways. And you look at the necessity of it, it's unbelievable. You look at the fact that our kids right now are literally experiencing Sunday in a hallway on the second floor because of the fact that no one will rent to us. This is something that not only needs to happen, but an unbelievable opportunity for us to partner with God in doing something powerful inside of our city. And so I hope that you have already made that midpoint commitment. If not, make sure that you do that before next Sunday. And then next Sunday is going to be our anniversary give, and we're going to launch into this second year. And for some of us, we'll catch up to our commitment. For some of us, we'll get ahead on our commitment. For some of us, we'll begin that commitment next week. So come prepared for, excited for that. Now, as I said, we're walking out of last week, and it was an unbelievable experience. And we're preparing for, in just a couple weeks, the biggest celebration of the year with Easter. And some of you have heard us talk about the fact that we want to bring our family back together for Easter. And I want to talk to you for just a second today, as we're kind of in between these two things. I want to talk to you about why we're talking that way, why this is our goal, why we decided to have 7 services to be able to make sure that there's space for everyone to be able to celebrate together. Why? And to answer that question, what I want to do is I want to challenge for a second, a little bit, the way that you think about church. Because the way that you think about church, it impacts not only the way that you engage it, but it also impacts the way that you introduce others to it. And from the very beginning here at Hoboken Grace, one of the things that we have asked is this question of wells. Now let me explain this to you. It was actually in the very first year of Hoboken Grace that I gave a talk called Wells. And we were working through who we were going to become as a church. And we were working through what church is really all about. And we engaged in this conversation. Now, to help you understand this, you have to understand that I believe, and I think that when you look at Scripture, you see that one of the most powerful illustrations that Jesus gives us about our dependence on Him is the illustration of water. As a matter of fact, there's one point where Jesus is having a conversation with a Samaritan woman. They're actually at a well, and as He's having this conversation with her, He talks about Himself this way. Let me just take you to that moment and to that story. It said this: when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to Him, "You are a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." And these two groups of people, there have been tension for a long, long time. And in a lot of ways, they despised one another, especially the Jews despised the Samaritans. And she's like, why are you even talking to me? Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that asked you for a drink, you would have asked Him and He would have given you living water." He's talking about Himself. He's like, if you knew who I am and what I'm here to do, you would have actually asked me for, and He uses this illustration, this picture. He said, you would ask me for living water. "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep." She's like, you don't even have a bucket, so I don't know what you're talking about. You're clearly not going to be able to do anything for me here. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, and did also his flocks and herds?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And this isn't the only place, but here you see Jesus really capturing this idea that you didn't understand something. I'm that living water, and I want to be able to engage in your life, and I want for you to engage with me in such a way that it quenches your thirst, that there's a spring that's welling up inside of you. And this is a pretty consistent idea throughout scriptures, this idea of our dependence on God being like our dependence on water, which clearly we can't live without. And even in the Old Testament, in the Jewish scriptures, you see God talking to the nation of Israel about where it is that they're trying to find satisfaction and what they're thirsty for, and the fact that they've turned to all these other water sources instead of actually drinking deeply of him. And he's calling them back to that, this reality that in another place Jesus captures this way. He talks about in terms of a vine and branches and our dependence on him. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And in this moment, Jesus again is calling us back to our dependence on him and this reality that if we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to thrive, then we have to abide, we have to remain in him. It's this dependence, this closeness, this intimacy with him. And the early church understood this. They understood that their very life depended on that intimacy, that abiding in, that drinking deeply of him. And so when Jesus goes back to be with the Father and the church launches, they begin to come together. They begin to come together to create spaces in which they could experience this. And there's a lot of different ways that Jesus had taught them that they were going to be able to experience this and what it meant to abide in him. And so they begin to meet in these different ways, in these different spaces. It says this in Acts chapter 2. It says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And when you look at the beginning of the early church, it's interesting because you have these individuals who'd been spiritually brought back to life. And they understood that in order for them to thrive in that new life, they needed to drink deeply of Jesus. They needed to abide in him. And so they begin to gather together in these ways. Now, this is important for you to understand. The early church didn't start as an organization. It didn't start as, hey, we're putting together this organization, here's the layout of it, here's how this is going to work, and I want for you to be able to meet together so you can have this organization. That's not how it happened. The church is not an organization. The church is an assembly of individuals. It's an assembly of people, a community of people who have been spiritually brought back to life, who gather, who assemble, and engage this journey together because of the fact that Jesus has taught us that one of the ways that we abide in him, one of the most powerful ways that we abide in him is in community. And he calls us actually to engage this journey together. And so the early church starts to, it says they met in homes, they met in the temple courts, they're meeting in larger groups and smaller groups, and they're coming together on a frequent basis to be able to create, in a very real way, to be able to create wells. In other words, to create spaces where they can drink deeply of who Jesus is. And they do that through their interaction with one another and community and living, engaging life together. They do that through the apostles' teaching and learning more about, okay, who Jesus is and how do I love him? How do I respond to him? What we've been doing for the past couple of weeks is we looked at the journey of faith and changing the way that we think about that. And they're drinking deeply of him there. And as they worship and celebrate God together, they're drinking deeply of him there. And in this way, as you look at the beginning of the early church, you see these individuals, and then if you were to break it down to its basic, you see these individuals who had been spiritually brought back to life, and they're gathering in obedience to what Jesus has said. They're gathering to be able to abide in Christ, and to recognize, to understand their dependence on, to draw near to pursue, not just individually, but to pursue communally, to pursue collectively Him. And from the beginning of Hope, Hope, and Grace, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to create wells. And as you look back through the history of the church, you've seen that throughout the history of the church, churches have worked to create these wells. That we don't meet together just because we should, or it's the right thing to do, what drove that from the beginning and what continues to drive that is our experience of God and our ability to be able to invite other people into that experience, for them to be able to see it and then to join into that experience of Him, to drink deeply of Him. And we've asked from the beginning of Hoboken Grace this question: are people finding water here? In other words, are they finding God? Not just are they learning about Him. Sometimes churches can become focused entirely on just learning about God, not actually engaging or experiencing God. Sometimes churches can become focused on morality and just, are we doing right things and good things? Sometimes churches can become focused on doing things for God and religion. Are we earning our way back to God? That's not what it was about from the beginning, and that's not what it's about today. It's about drinking deeply. It's about abiding in Him, in our experience of Him. And so in obedience, living out the mission that God's given us, from the beginning of Hoboken Grace, we set out to do that. And we wanted to do that in alignment with the Great Commission, this incredible mission that God's given us, and the Great Commandment, the things that Jesus says are most important in our life. And so we understood the importance of worship, loving the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and celebrating Him collectively together. And so we wanted to be able to engage this idea of worship and lead people to encounter God collectively and love Him responsibly. One of the wells that we wanted to be able to create was a space where we were able to collectively come together and respond to what it is that God's done, and lead people to encounter God through that, teach people how to be able to experience and encounter God through that. Most of you have experienced that here at Hoboken Grace as we've come together to worship. Another one is connection. We understood, Jesus teaches us, that the Spirit lives in each and every one of us, and that we experience God's Spirit in community as well. You can't do this alone. You won't thrive. You won't thrive in this. And so we want to lead people to encounter God in one another, not just in our worship, but in community, the way that we experience one another, the way that we speak into one another, the way we encourage one another, the way that God's gifted us in all these different ways for us to be able to fit together as His body to carry out this mission together. We wanted to be able to create the well of ministry or service and lead people to encounter God as they give of their lives to serve one another. And we call people to this all the time. You look back at TeamLink a couple weeks ago, where we had several who stepped into that and embraced this. And again, this is another place where we're able to abide in, we're able to pursue, we're able to draw close to Him. And we want to create these wells for people to not just drink occasionally of Him, but to consistently, in all of the different ways that's possible, but to consistently drink of Him. Growth, leading people to encounter God personally in their daily lives. And this, oftentimes we talk about this in terms of rhythms and encountering God in our daily lives personally. Again, we can experience this individually, but you'll notice as you walk through this that really only one of these is an individual experience. The rest of them are collective experiences. And then even outreach and the way that we're engaging the people around us. We want to be able to invite people into this, but we also want to lead people to translate their encounter of God and experience and their experience of Him, and then experience Him as they share that with others. Another way, and I don't know if you've ever experienced this before. I hope that you have, but it's incredible. It's incredible, your experience of God as you're sharing Him with someone else. It's unbelievable. It's amazing how real He becomes in that moment. I hope that you've experienced that. It's another one of those wells. And we set out at Hoboken Grace to be able to sink those wells and to figure out, okay, how do we help people abide in, pursue, drink deeply of Him in these ways? Understanding that our health, understanding what the early church understood, that our health was tied to consistently taking Him in. If you're not, we understand this physically, if you're not consistently taking in water, you're not healthy. You may tell yourself you're healthy, and you may be someone who tries to live just on coffee. I know people like that. Sometimes I try to live that way. But if that's you, you understand, hopefully, that you're not healthy. And you might be able to survive that way, but you're not going to thrive that way. And what we wanted to do as a church is to figure out, okay, how do we sink these wells? How do we teach people how to drink deeply in these different ways that God's told us that we can experience Him, both individually and collectively? And then how do we? And this is why we're constantly calling you to take these steps of being engaged in these different ways. How do we teach people to drink frequently? How do we teach them to not just take advantage of one, but to take advantage of all of them and to maximize all of them? And the reality is, if you're missing one of them, you're not as healthy as you could be. And we want for our church to be a church of individuals who are healthy in our pursuit of Him, our engagement of Him, abiding in Him, and our ability to invite other people into that. And the truth is, for years now, thousands upon thousands of people have experienced that. It's been incredible to see that and to see all of those who've experienced these wells and the way in which people have drawn close to, and the way in which people have truly drunk deeply of Him as a result of that. It's been unbelievable to see. And we've worked really, really hard at that together as a family to be able to not just sink those wells, but to maintain them and get better and better at helping people understand how to experience God through them. But then last year, our wells got a little bit interrupted, I guess you could say. And as we came to just about 1 year ago, we realized that we were going to have to adapt those wells. We're probably going to have to sink some new wells if we're being honest about it, because of the fact that we were in the midst of this moment and this situation. And we looked at what was happening in the world around us, and we realized, okay, we're going to have to do this differently. We're going to have to sink some new wells and figure out how to be able to help people engage and draw near to drink deeply of Him in new ways. Now, I want to be super clear about this, because I think that some may have misunderstood this. We made that decision a year ago, and we stopped meeting in person. We made that decision a year ago because of the fact that we felt that it was responsible, and that the responsible choice, it forwarded the mission. Now, the reason that I say that is this. I don't want for you to think for 1 second that we made the decision last year because of fear. We didn't, as we moved into that moment, we didn't decide the mission is not as important as self-preservation. We didn't decide, okay, we're going to put the mission on the back burner because of the fact that we were afraid. No. We believe that the responsible thing would actually further the mission, that it would allow us to love our community better. We believe that it would allow us to be able to communicate Jesus better. We never, ever put the mission secondary to anything. We definitely don't put the mission secondary to fear. Last week, we talked about legacy and the story that we were going to leave behind and whether or not we would be one of those witnesses. And we looked at the legacy of David and the way that he served God's purpose in his generation. What an unbelievable legacy. These cloud of witnesses that we see in the book of Hebrews and the legacy of faith that they left behind. The reality is that as you look back through the church, you see time after time after time after time, situation after situation after situation of individuals who engage the mission fearlessly. And many of whom who gave their lives for it. We don't make decisions based on self-preservation. Listen to me very carefully. We don't make decisions based on self-preservation. That's not who we are as followers of Jesus. And for those of you who are engaging with us for the first time, and you're wondering about this whole Jesus thing, you need to understand something. Jesus taught us something. Jesus taught us that people were worth dying for. Jesus taught us that you were worth dying for. And he calls us to engage the journey that way. He calls us to engage the mission that way. And I never want for us to fall into the trap of thinking, okay, well, we need to make decisions based on self-preservation or thinking that the mission comes secondary to whatever it is that we're up against. No. As we moved into that moment a year ago, we made the decision that we did because of the fact that we felt that it would allow us to be able to accomplish the mission better, to love people better, to do what Jesus called us to do better, which is why we made the decision that we did, and we decided, okay, it's time to sink some new wells. And we did. I mean, as you look back through this past year, it's unbelievable to be able to see what we experienced. And it was great. We were able to move online and be able to experience one another this way and to be able to engage God's word this way. You saw an entirely new focus on rhythms and helping people to be able to really engage God in that. And the morning show was birthed out of that. What was that? Well, that was sinking a new well. It was an understanding that we have to abide in him. So how do we help people abide in him? And understanding that, well, right now the individual experience of him is going to be higher than before. And so we've got to equip people and be able to come alongside of people in that way. It was sinking a new well. It's all about continuing to drink deeply of him and introducing others, inviting others into that with us. And we figured out how to be able to do digital groups. And we figured out how to be able to chat as we're watching online. For those of you who are at live.hobokengrace.com. And we figured out, okay, how do we continue to drink deeply of him in the midst of this moment? And how do we continue to engage this mission? But it wasn't the same. And what I mean by that is this. I'm not saying it wasn't the same. Like, oh, well, you know, we used to sing hymns and now we don't. It's not the same. I'm not talking about, well, I'm nostalgically connected to something in the past and I just liked it better that way. No. Because what's the evaluation based on? What is it ultimately that it's about? It's about our experience of him. It's about these moments of experiencing God and the tool that is to invite other people, to bring other people into that. And so when I say that it wasn't the same, and it's not the same, what I mean by that is this. It's not the same well. It's not the same. Our ability to be able to drink deeply of him is different. It's different. And it was great, and it's good. And as you're watching this, I understand that I'm literally sitting here and I'm speaking to those of you who are experiencing God this way. And I know that you've experienced God this way. And you've been able to drink as we've moved through this desert that we've been in the midst of. And it's sustained us, which is awesome. But it's not the same well. There's an experience of God in collective worship that can't be underestimated. There's an experience of God. There's a drinking deeply of Him. There's an ability to be able to invite others into that in a way that, to be honest with you, just can't do digitally. And some of you are at home and you sing with the band and you stand up and it's awesome and you are, you're experiencing God, but it's not the same. I remember experiencing this the first time that we went back to in-person services. And I remember as we moved through that morning, everyone in the space was crying. Everyone. And there were a lot of different factors to that and a lot of different things that contributed to that. But as I moved through that day, I realized, okay, this is different, specifically as it pertains to, okay, taking Him in, our collective experience of Him together, even when it comes to the conversation, engaging God's word together and being in that space together as we're working through that and understanding I'm not alone in this, that all of us are pursuing God in this together. It's the same content, but it's not the same context. And as I moved through that day, I realized, okay, this is different. I wanted to be able to illustrate it for you. And so let me do this. It's kind of like this. As we moved through the past year and as we established online groups and as we established our online services, it was good and it was refreshing and it sustained us. And for some of us, depending on where you live in the world, this is the only option that you have. And we love that no matter where you are in the world, that you're able to be part of this experience, that you're able to be part of our family and this journey with us together. And we understand that there are going to be circumstances and situations where this is going to be our experience. But I realized as I walked through that morning that while I had been experiencing this, I was now experiencing something different. How do I illustrate it? It was like walking in to this, and all of a sudden, I was drowning. All of a sudden, I was experiencing Him in a whole new way. It was like finding an oasis in the middle of a desert. And as I moved through that day and as we moved through that day together, I realized, now there's an experience of God that we only experience together. As we worship together, as we engage Him together, as we move through that day and as we moved through that moment together. And for some of you, you've been experiencing God and you've been drawing near to Him and you've been pursuing Him, but you've been longing for this. You've been craving this, which is why as we move into Easter, we want to invite you back. We want to invite you back to drink from that well. We want to invite you back to once again be able to celebrate Him together. And the reality is that for the past eight months, we have proven that it's a safe experience. And as we move into Easter, we're taking it to a whole different level. We've got 7 different services for you to be a part of. And not only are we doing this with Easter, but one of the other things that we're doing is that we're bringing back the lawn. In just a few weeks, you're going to see that open up. We're not going to be doing services there because we can do services at 301 really, really well. And that well is well sunk, and we're able to experience and love and pursue and introduce others really well there. But we're bringing back the lawn because we don't want to just experience one another and experience community on Sundays. We want for you to be able to experience that in your groups. And so on the lawn, we're setting up different seating areas so that you as a group can come together on a consistent basis. And we're still going to have our online services, and we're still going to have our online, some groups will still be online for you to be able to experience that way for those of you who can't be here in person. But even if you can't be here in person, community is crucial. Community is crucial to our experience of Him. And I encourage you to be building that community wherever it is that you are, a group that you're bringing together to be able to engage God in this way, to drink deeply of Him in this way. It's time to resync the wells. And I want to invite you to start. I want to invite you to start this Easter. As a matter of fact, I want to invite you right now to register for Easter. If you're here locally, I want to invite you right now to register to be with us on Easter, either on Saturday evening or Sunday. There's 7 different services, 7 different times. There's a time that's going to work for you. I guarantee it. Take out your phone right now. Open up the app. It's going to be the top thing on the app. Or the other thing that you can do, if you don't have our app, you don't want to download our app, that's fine. You can actually text Easter to the number on the screen here, and we'll send you over that registration link. Register for Easter right now. Make sure that you do that today. It's time to resync the wells. It's time to once again drink deeply together. It's time to be able to reestablish that tool where we can invite others to experience that with us, where they can experience Him and drink deeply of Him as well. Make sure that you register today. You're not going to want to miss this experience as we resync these wells. Will you pray with me? Father, we are so incredibly grateful that you have invited us into this relationship of knowing you, not just knowing about, but knowing, experiencing you, that we get to invite others to be a part of that and all the different ways that we get to pursue and experience that on this journey. I pray that as we move forward, as we resync these wells, that we would be able to do that even better. That we would be able to not only experience you ourselves, but to bring more and more into that experience, bring more and more into this journey with us. Father, I look forward to the celebration of Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.